The Lord has been dealing with Vicki on this scripture of Joel 2:25. Really the whole second chapter of Joel in particular, but she has focused on the locust, the stripping and creeping and gnawing locust. And the Lord has been revealing to her what they represent and what restoration looks like in relation to that. And so this morning, I was praying about some of the stuff she had written to me in particular, and I think maybe to some of the rest of you, concerning this and how restoration would come. And so I stopped for a moment just to look at the definition of restoration. And I was totally shocked at how it says it. If you speak of restoration, if you just look up the definition of restoration, it'll give you a worldly definition of returning something to its original value or its original state. We go restore a 68 Mustang, we make it look just like it did the day it was built. Or you go restore a house, you take it back to its original shape, the content that was in it. You want to restore a painting, you know, you take it back. They're constantly redoing or restoring Michelangelo's work at the Sistine Chapel to bring it back to what it looked like originally. But it said in biblical terms, when you speak of restoration, it is to receive back more than has been lost, to the point where the final state is greater than the original condition. The main point is that someone or something is improved beyond measure. So it started me to think, and I've said this many, many times when we're talking with families or couples or whatever, when God does the restoring, it's always in multiples of 2 or 10 or 100. The least of the restoration was when God restored Job. And Job received twice what he had before. But we know of times when God restored 10 times or 100-fold. So, and the reason I'm saying this, we, you know, Vicki and I, in our discussions, feel like we're pretty much in a season of restoration. All last year, God gave me many scriptures when I would be up in the morning praying that led to restoration. And he's talking about, if you remember, how the plowman would overtake the sower and how the threshing floor would be full and all of these things of restoration. But he's really had Vicki dealing in this Joel, the second chapter of Joel, with these locusts and talking about what will, if you will, initiate the restoration that God intends to have in us. But the other thing that brought to my mind was if God gets ready to restore you, if God is going to do a restoration in your life, and it's going to be multiples, it's going to be more than can be measured, beyond measure from where you were before, He can't do it just in you. It has to be everything that's around you. Anything that doesn't oppose you will be the benefactor of that. I used to tell people I would always pray for the guys to use a worldly term, who we were competing with in business, because a rising tide raises all ships. But the truth is this, if you're looking for God to make a change in your life, you have to understand He's going to make a change in everybody's life around you, because a rising tide raises all ships. So when this restoration comes for us all, as it is coming for us all, as He is giving back what was stolen by these three types of locusts, understand fully it will be in multiples and it will be beyond measure. Vicki has a comment that the Lord gave or spoke to her one morning about things coming out of thin air. And we're starting to see that manifest. I've had several couples who have had this thing come into their life as though out of thin air. Cheyenne and I experienced it personally yesterday, of these things coming out of thin air. And so this restoration is happening. But don't be surprised. I guess you can be amazed at the goodness of God, but don't be surprised when you see restoration come in such a tremendous way that it's immeasurable, because that's the very definition of biblical restoration, which more than anything is a definition of God's character. One of the natures of God is He is a God of restoration. He restored, you know. And I'm having to really weigh this, because we've talked a lot about returning to the original intent of God. But this goes beyond original intent. It takes it to a value, takes our lives, takes our grace, takes our provision, whatever. And provision not just being material, but in everything we need, taking it to a level beyond measure, beyond our understanding. Peace beyond our understanding. And so when when God moves His hand, this is the way He's going to move it. And it was just, it was a very reassuring thought for me this morning as the Holy Spirit led me through that. And I wanted to begin here today with that, just that brief thing of encouraging you that as we're in this season where God is going to restore things, anticipate in your life that the restoration be beyond measure. That anything and everything that the enemy has stole from you will be restored beyond measure. Okay? So questions? Thoughts?
Some of the people that we meet with don't think it's possible this side of heaven. They think the restoration will be something that we will get in heaven. They don't believe it can happen to us today. And it's, I mean, when you talk to them about it, the lights come on. There's hope in their life now that never has been. They're trying to just live their best life now to get that. And
yeah, it's remarkable to me. It appears that religion will push us one of two ways. That religion gives us a gospel of salvation, and we think, okay, Lord, make this life better, longer. Let me extend this thing as far as I can, and You make it as good as You can. Or it becomes a pacifier that says, let me endure this life till I get to the good one. And that goodness doesn't exist here. But in either one of those options, we've missed the fact that the Lord said, and the kingdom of God is at hand. It's here. It's as though we never even heard that. The kingdom of God is within you. So everything that is anticipated on the other side, as we call it, except for being fully spiritual. That's the one thing that will change. In that situation, you'll be fully spiritual. But every other aspect of this thing, we should experience here on earth. We should experience in this natural state. And things be done on earth as it is in heaven. We should see these things.
That would make sense then with the word I was given this weekend, that creeping locust. When the Lord said, now be not deceived, that this is not something from the past. This is not looking back to the past for restoration. This is something God will do, not man.
Yep.
And then He said, and heaven is coming to earth soon. Now, I don't know exactly what that meant, but that's the word I got.
I think the key part of that in keeping with what we just said about restoration is, this is not going back to something from the past.
Not from the past.
You're going to something that's new, that's different.
And do not be deceived.
Yeah.
Do not be deceived. This is not looking back. This is going forward to something from God. It's that restoration you're talking about. This is from God, multiple fold, not from man.
And what really surprised me was that when I Googled restoration, it was quick to say, now this is what the world says, but here's what God says. It's different than the spiritual.
I haven't gotten the gnawing yet either. I've just gotten this, the three, the creeping, the swarming, and stripping.
Oh yeah, there's four, yeah. I forgot about swarming, creeping, gnawing, and stripping.
Stripping's the prayer, the swarming is the thin air money, and the creeping is the restoration of the land and the food.
Vicki will have a teaching for us when she gets the fourth one. We'll make that teaching. Other questions?
Doug, is someone talking right now?
No, ma'am. Just Randy.
Okay. Just me? Okay. Yeah. So you said when restoration is going on within a person or a family, then it also is going on in those around them. Is it more so those under them, or is it equally those around them as those under them, or does those under them count as the one unit that the Lord is doing the original work in? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, as I had the thought today, and I don't know that I can biblically say this to you, but the thought I had this morning is it will involve everything you touch. I don't know exactly what that means, but that was the thought I had, was that when God does a restoration, it doesn't just isolate one person, but it will touch everything that person touches. So that could be, and even to include your enemies.
Yeah, I was thinking, is it strictly regarding like gifts and grace? Like, you know, of course the person's going to be influential in their grace, but I guess you're saying even beyond just your area of influence or grace, you mean just those that you are in contact with at all.
Right. Okay. Relationships, everything will be, when God starts that restoration, it's going to affect them all.
Mm-hmm. I see.
Part of being an ambassador is to declare these things. Make the people aware of
them. Of them, yeah. Yeah. Well, and that's why God is showing us these things and having us go back and look. This goes to the heart. This does go to the heart of what we talked about last week, the renewing of our minds, so that we'll be transformed. So many of these things we've thought about them inaccurately, and God has to renew our minds. So He's bringing these thoughts to us. I mean, I think Vicki originally got that scripture from me last July of 17, I think, was when the Lord gave it to me. And I wrote something about it, but she doesn't sit around normally thinking about locusts.
No, but 30 years ago, the Lord brought Joel
to you.
2:25 to me as a promise when my marriage was
being
wrong and my family was broken like it was, and He gave me that, and I noted it in a Bible. That the time, so I would know when this came, but little did I understand what it meant.
Mm-hmm. But you wouldn't sit around normally and think about locusts.
No.
But God's bringing it to her attention, so she has to face up to it, but it's changing how she sees things.
But I didn't sit around thinking about the spiritual application of it either.
Yeah.
And that's where He's going now, I think, is the spiritual.
But we are totally being, our minds are going to be renewed totally by the Lord concerning the things in Scripture that we don't really understand, or that we read, and we read them with a natural mind, not a spiritual mind. So we have to renew these things. It goes down to the bottom line of this simply. God's much bigger than we imagine Him to be, and things are much different than we imagine them to be. And it's time that our vision is open to the new horizon of what God is doing and saying and being in this time.
Do you see this coming in a season? Because I don't have any implication of when it was coming, except we've actually experienced some of it? Or do you think it's something that will be here? I mean, what is your thought about timing of this restoration? The power of prayer, in other words.
Well, what I was thinking, what I've been focusing on, especially in the things that you have written, was what releases it. So the epoch, if you will, or the season or the year, whatever the period is that God tends to do restoration is here. It has come. I think we, completion of the year 2017.
Open
that thing up. So we're at a place where God is ready to restore everything. So what restrains Him at this moment is our hearts. So the heart of prayer, the heart of forgiveness, the heart of reconciliation, these things worked out in us is what opens the floodgates for God to do what He intends to do. And He's going to do it. The timing is based on when our heart is prepared to receive it.
We have to rule for our benefit, so He can't give us something that our heart's not ready for.
Yeah.
So our need to walk out restoration in our life with our relationship with Him is really important. It's probably so timely we can't imagine it.
Yeah. Now, what is it in Ezekiel where we say, don't give us so much that I forget who you are? If this restoration came too soon before God's work is really done, we'll ignore Him.
Well, it's a Job thing.
Yeah.
I mean, He didn't give it to Job until it got all the way down to praying for his friends.
Yeah.
Once he could do that, then he didn't, thump the friends. And then he said, and not only that, but I'll restore you.
Yeah.
Excuse me for saying thump.
I thought that was good.
He didn't. I didn't want to say kill him.
Thump him. But once he had done the prayer for his friends, instantly. God restored all that. But, and this is part of my point. Job's restoration could not happen without it affecting his friends.
Correct.
So that's why he had to forgive them, to be in reconciliation with them, so that when the restoration came, the godly restoration, where it's beyond measure, everything could be right. But otherwise, he would have inundated a broken relationship with abundance that would have created more broken relationship.
So the need for blockages to be removed, the time is here. It has to be in order for us to be able to understand.
Zach's saying when he was losing everything, was that removing the blockages? And Vicky's talking about the need for removing the blockages. What I think happened, or consider this at least, that the stripping away of all that stuff revealed the blockage. The forgiveness is where the blockage were removed, and then God just restored everything. I think if the truth known, Job didn't have that high of opinion of his friends in the first place, and that's what needed to get revealed. There was jealousy, envy, animosity going on between them. And God just revealed it by taking everything away and them starting to declare their thoughts about Job.
But it wasn't just his friends, it was his family.
Yeah.
That he had gotten all messed up.
Yeah.
And had taken on all the responsibility for everybody and would go out every morning fear that they had done something that they needed to repent of and they weren't going to do it.
Do it, yeah.
So he had to break that in, I think.
Now that's where I say the opinion wasn't that high. He didn't trust, he didn't love, he identified. But I think clearly the availability of restoration is here. Understanding that restoration is like the depth and breadth of God. You can't imagine how much it is. When He moves His hand, it's more than we can even imagine. And it's going to affect everything we touch.
Isn't that like basically faith and trust?
It is. It's the understanding, faith being the understanding of who God is and what he's capable of. And yes, that's it. Exactly, Travis.
I've been thinking about the timing. And, you know, I don't think everybody will have to get it. I think there'll be a remnant of people that will have to retain God in their knowledge and go forward with him for these things to begin to happen, right? I mean, like when the message of the kingdom came, everybody didn't get it. A few did. And he's working with the few of us that got it, right? So I mean, if we're looking for a big revival to where all these things can happen, I don't see it happening like that. I see it happening to a little flock. And then to a little bigger flock, you know, and stuff.
Well, except for this.
Okay.
When a nation will come in a day, when God gets ready to reveal the kingdom, now, that may be through pressure, that may be through restoration, that may, you know, whatever vehicle God gets ready to use, the remnant carries the weight. I mean, it only took four to carry the Ark of the Covenant. So the remnant carries the weight of the kingdom on their shoulders. But when the day comes for a nation to come in as a whole, God's going to pull back a curtain and everybody will flood in. And what we're talking about there is that transformation from Napios to Padeon. The movement from being an infant in Christ to being a son in God. That's where your citizenship in the kingdom comes. And so, yeah, I agree with you to the degree that the remnant has to carry the weight of the kingdom in the birth canal or whatever you want to call it, in this process of this thing coming forth. But when God gets ready to happen, he'll bring in a nation in a day. It's a lot easier.
Aren't you glad we're not charged?
Yeah.
We just have to be faithful.
But okay.
My question is this. Sometimes I think about this, but do you ever think about the mark of the beast? How are you going to know when it's coming? Like
the mark of the beast?
Yeah.
How do you know? How do you think the mark of the beast will be manifested?
Because it's been saying somebody make through your hand sometimes. They'll put you on something there and you no longer have to use your ID or nothing. That kind of worries me.
Yeah.
Am I ready to die right away? Or, you know,
you're fine.
Who would be interested in making you worry?
Satan.
Yeah. So all those ideas about the mark of the beast that make us worry are dreamed up by Satan. What is the mark of Christ that's on us? It says that when we are saved, when we cry out on the name of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes and seals us with a mark on our forehead. Do I have one? The mark of Christ is your character. When you act like Christ, you reveal the mark of Christ on you. The mark of the beast will be revealed in our character. Scripture describes them. Idolaters, adulterers, murderers, liars, thieves. These are the attributes of the mark of the beast. It's not a chip in your hand. It's not a brand, the 4-6s brand across your head. That's not the way that thing. It will be seen in you by the how you act. And you'll clearly be distinguished. Remember the mountain of the Lord that comes up? That will be those who have the mark of Christ. And the world will have the mark of the beast until they repent. But it's not, we've written all these books, Lake Great Planet Earth and all those others, who anticipated an economic system because they tied two things together. They tied the mark of the beast and buying and selling. Well, the one thing that we left out of that was the supernatural, miraculous ability of God to drop manna from the sky. God is capable of meeting your needs without you buying and selling. In fact, I have it on pretty good authority that we'll buy without cost and we'll buy without money. So that we've tied that together so that we've made our economic system and the mark of the beast have to go together. But that's not true. What that's simply telling us is that Satan is the king of commerce. If you can stand up on a table and say you can't buy or sell, that makes you the king of commerce. Satan is the king of commerce. That is a system designed to deceive us and to lead us into jealousy and envy and competition. But we as the children of God will be free from it. Let me just say it this way. The fruits of the Spirit will be the mark of Christ on y'all. And the fruits of the anti-spirit, or the antichrist, will be all of those other things that we listed. But it will be manifested in your character because of who lords over you. If the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus Christ lord over you, the fruits of the Spirit will be manifested in your life. If Satan lords over you, the fruits of the Spirit or the fruits of the world, all those things, idolatry, adultery, and all those other things, is what will be manifested in your life. Greed, envy, jealousy, all kinds of evils. It's not your American Express chip. What else? Be thankful and declare where you can the restoration power of God over those who need and deserve it. Be God's ambassador and representative and make that declaration over people. Okay? See y'all next week.